We went to a psalm, and it was quoted in the New Testament. It was quoted in the book of Hebrews. Tonight, we're going to be looking at Psalm 57, which is not, it's not quoted in the New Testament. But this psalm stood out to me as I was reading this past week. And I just wanted to pull out some truths that I found in this psalm and share them with you tonight. There's five different truths that we're going to see. They'll be quick. They'll be quick truths, I think. I can't promise. But let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this time that we have together tonight to look at your word. I pray, God, that you'd help us as we hear your word. I pray that we would allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us and that you would teach us tonight. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. But if you notice, I skipped the title to the psalm. So let's go back and read the title of the psalm, because this sets some important information as to where David's coming from. The title of the psalm is, To the Chief Musician, and I'll do my best to butcher these Hebrew words, Al-Tashith, Michtam, that's probably terrible, of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Where we find David is hiding from Saul. We find David in this time of abandon and hopelessness and maybe a time of fear in his life. Have you ever found yourself there? Have you ever found yourself feeling hopeless, abandoned, or scared? Ever found yourself being terrified? I'm reminded of being terrified. I was going to share a picture with you tonight, but I decided not to. So this past week, my wife and I had the wonderful blessing of taking our children to Disney World. We had a great time. And I could think of many examples of people being terrified, but this one just sticks out to me. So on roller coasters, which we didn't do too many of because we have small kids and they can't go on too many of them, but some people deal with thrill in different ways, right? Like some people just enjoy it, like me. I just enjoy it. I'll sit there and just take it all in. There's a couple rides that we were able to do. Disney has this wonderful thing called Rider Swap, where if you have small children, one of you waits in line while the other person goes and deals with the small children. And then once you're done, that other person can go through the Fast Pass line and skip the line. It's great. It's awesome. So we did that on a couple rides. Two of them, one was the Tower of Terror, and which is not really terrifying. And the other is this that we did was this ride called, Everest. We did it on Dinosaur, but we also did it on Everest. Have any of you ever ridden the ride Everest? Okay, a few of you. So it's a fun ride, and sometimes you don't really know what to expect on the ride. You go to the top of Mount Everest that they built at Animal Kingdom, and I would think that you're going to go over, right, and go down, like the Superman type of idea at Six Flags. Well, the tracks in front of you are broken. And you're like, well, what's going to go on? And then you just start going backwards. And then you don't know what to expect the rest of the ride. And you typically know where the camera's going to be to take your picture of your terrified face. Well, because me and Kristen couldn't ride together, we had to ride the rides separately. So I really wanted to share this picture with you tonight, but I value my relationship with my wife, so I didn't share it. The picture of Kristen on the ride is a face of absolute terror. Absolute terror. I mean, if you want to see it, come talk to me later. I'll show it to you. I have it on my phone. I just don't want to show it on the big screen. It wouldn't be good. It is a picture of absolute terror. Some people just are just terrified of certain things like that. And the same thing on the Tower of Terror. You should have seen the text that Kristen was sending me. I won't share them with you either. Which, my picture on the Tower of Terror is, I'm smiling. Her picture on the Tower of Terror, she is terrified. And that's the picture, I think, when it comes to like being scared. We get scared of rides. We get scared of thrills. We get scared of, some people are scared of the dark. Maybe when you were a child, you remember being scared of the dark. Maybe some of you still are scared of the dark. There's nothing wrong with that. The dark is not a welcoming environment. So maybe that's what you think of when you think of fear. But what David is talking about is a different type of fear. David is fearful because somebody is literally trying to kill him. Somebody's literally trying to kill him. And it happens to be his father-in-law. I mean, you probably have issues with your in-laws, but at least they're not trying to kill you, right? I mean, everybody has the in-laws that you're kind of like, yeah, we gotta go see the in-laws. But they're not at least attacking you, trying to kill you. That's where David finds himself. He's hiding literally in a cave. And they're hiding from King Saul, who has his armies hunting him down. So most likely they don't have their torches lit in the cave. There, David is with 600 other men, but I just imagine that he finds himself in this place of loneliness. He finds himself in this place of perhaps terror, hiding in a cold, dark hole. And those two Hebrew words that I butchered in the title, the first one, Al Tashith, it means destroy not. It means destroy not. And there are a few, I think there are four or five different psalms. The next one would be another one, an Al Tashith, a destroy not psalm. And then there's, the next word is Miktam or Mikhtam. And that would mean a golden psalm. And that would refer to like a golden ornament that they would, the Jews would wear back in this time, representing significance. Okay, so David is writing the psalm. It's destroy not. It's a psalm of prayer. It's a psalm of prayer, and it's a psalm of praise, and it's a psalm where we find David expressing his faith in the midst of his fear. He's expressing his faith in the midst of his fear. We find David expressing faith to God, his helper, being fearful of those who hate him and want to destroy him. We find him giving the right response to fear. And then we see him having more fear and taking his next steps. And ultimately, we're going to see David showing faith in God who is merciful and true. So first of all, let's look at David showing faith in God, his helper. And we can look at this in our own life when we face times similar to this, where we face times of loneliness and abandonment and hopelessness. Faith in God, our helper. Look with me at verses 1 through 3. The Bible says this, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful, for my soul trusteth in thee." First of all, David is crying out to God because he knows that God is merciful. He's crying out to God because he knows that God is merciful. And this is going to be a theme that we're going to see a couple other times here in this passage. He knows that God is merciful. David has experienced God's mercy many times before, and he's going to continue to experience God's mercy time and time again. We're reminded in Lamentations 3 that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Mercy would be defined as not getting what we deserve. And if we truly received what we deserve, we would spend an eternity in hell. And it's not just that we receive the Lord's mercy for our eternity, but we receive the Lord's mercy on a day-to-day basis, just as Lamentations tells us. They're new every morning. His compassions fail not. We receive God's mercy in our daily life. And David is crying out to God, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me." He understands that God is a merciful God because he's seen God's mercy before. And you've seen God's mercy before. When you experience times of loneliness, times of abandonment, times of fear in your life, you can cry out to God for his mercy, and he will always give it to you. You know, as believers, our goal is to be like Christ, yet we often fall short of that. We often sin, yet God, who is rich in mercy, doesn't forsake us. You know, the Bible explains God's mercy that way. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. The idea of being rich in mercy is to have abounding mercy. So much mercy as if we wouldn't know what to do with it. Yet God bestows that on us. We sang that song tonight, chose that song tonight. His mercy is more. His mercy is more. We experience God's mercy on a daily basis. God doesn't forsake us, and he never will. He never has. And then the end of in verse number one, the middle of the verse, David has learned to trust God. He's learned to trust God through the experiences that he's faced in his life. He learned that God would shelter him. "Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge." Just like a mother bird would shelter her young birds under her wing to protect them from predators or to protect them from a storm. David understood that God would protect him, just as he had in the past. God had protected David in the past. He knew that God would protect him from all the calamities. He says, "Until these calamities be overpassed." Talk about calamities, having people literally coming to kill you. I would say that that would be a calamity. Maybe more so than we've ever faced. He's running for his life from a murderous father-in-law, but he trusted God to get him through it. He had faith that God would come through again, that God would deliver him, God would provide him salvation. You know, remember when one of the first times we meet David, he's standing before King Saul, and he says, "God delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver this Philistine into my hand." Because the Lord had provided him physical salvation, deliverance from the lion and the bear. God had provided him deliverance from this Philistine. God had provided him deliverance from King Saul in the past as well, and now he's running from his life, and he trusts that God is going to get him through it because God, he understood, was his helper. And we need to understand that too. God has helped us in the past. He's going to continue to help us in the future. There's a song that we don't sing too often. Maybe, I don't know if we ever sing it at all. "Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home." For thousands of years, people have looked to God as their helper because that's who God is. For the believer today, God is our helper, just as he was David's helper. And we can trust, just as he says in verse number 2, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." Unto God that performeth all things for me. The God that's going to come through. He's going to come through in our time of need. He's going to come through when we need him the most. So David is able to put his faith in God, his helper. But yet David still faces fear. In verse number 4, we see that David is facing fear because of those who would destroy him. Verse number 4. He says, "My soul is among lions. and I lie, even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. He says, my soul is among lions. What does a lion do? Interestingly enough, a lion spends about 20 hours, I learned this at, listen, Disney World is also educational. I learned this. Lions spend about 20 hours of their day sleeping. Did you know that? So does Adam. But lions spend about 20 hours of their day sleeping. And did you know that male lions don't actually hunt? You know that they hang out and watch the kids while the women go out and hunt? Did you know that? Maybe you did. Maybe I was just stupid and had to catch up on what I didn't know already. But when a lion does hunt for those 4 hours a day, that's what it does the entire time it's awake. It hunts. And it destroys. You've probably seen the National Geographic videos or whatever nature videos of the lion chasing down the antelope, right? And then, or you've seen The Lion King, and Mufasa tells Simba that they eat the antelope, and then the antelope, you know, anyway. It chases down the antelope, it pounces on the antelope, it destroys the antelope, okay? It finds its target, it focuses in on that target, and then it destroys the target. David is telling us that his soul is among lions. There are people out there who want to destroy him. And David had faith that God was there to help him, yet he still experienced fear. Now, just because we experience fear doesn't mean that we're bad Christians, doesn't mean that there's something wrong with us. Normal people experience fear. We have to understand that is a human emotion that we can experience. Normal people experience fear, and it doesn't mean that we're bad Christians. David experienced fear. Saul literally was trying to kill him. Not long before, Saul threw a spear at him. So he's experiencing fear. We can understand that God is our helper. We can have legitimate faith in him and still face fear because of our surroundings. Remember when Peter was walking on the water? Peter's walking on the water because he had faith. His eyes were on Jesus. He had the faith to walk on the water. Yet then he sees his surroundings and his fear came up and his eyes were taken off of Jesus and he began to sink. But he was able to walk on the water because he had faith. David is facing a time in his life. And it's not just Saul physically trying to kill him, but he says that the teeth of the sons of men that are around him are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. We've heard the expression, and we probably, as a child, said it, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we all know how untrue that statement actually is, because words do hurt, right? People can say terrible things about you, so it's not just David fleeing physically from Saul who's trying to kill him. But now people are starting rumors and saying things about David. They're wounding him with their words. Their teeth are like arrows and spears and their tongue like a sword. And he's facing fear. But the difference is in verse number 5, he's going to give us the proper response to fear. And this is the proper response that we should have when we face fear. Verse number 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. David is facing fear, yet he understands that the person who can save him from this fear is God, who is to be exalted. David says that he's going to exalt the Lord. I face these fears in my life. I face trying situations in my life. Maybe sometimes it seems everybody's out to get me. What is the response? God, be exalted in my life. God, you're exalted over all the earth. God, you are exalted over all of the heavens. There's no one greater than God. There's no situation that God can't handle. There's no situation beyond God's control. There's no enemy that God can't defeat. Exalt God as a response to your fear. And that's what David does. David says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth. Fear may come, but faith produces a response of exalting God. When we elevate God above our fears get smaller because we see the God who is greater than all fears. You understand that? When we elevate God above our fears get smaller because we see the God who is greater than all of our fears. That's the proper response to fear. That's what we see David do. He has faith in God, yet he has fear because people are out to get him. He gives this response of exalting God, yet now he's facing more fear. It's like this yo-yo effect that he's on. Have you ever found yourself there? If you're a normal human being, you've probably found yourself on this yo-yo effect where, yes, you have faith in God and then you have fear. God helps you overcome that fear, and then you have another fear or more fear that comes into your life. And it's like up and down, up and down, up and down. And that's where we find David right now in verse number 6. He has fear now because his next steps seem hopeless. Fear because his next steps seem hopeless. Verse number 6. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They digged a pit before me. We'll stop there right now. He's facing more fear. He doesn't know what's going to happen with his next steps. He doesn't know where they're going to take him. He says that his enemies have prepared a trap. They've prepared a net, like if they were going to catch a bird into this net and be stuck in the net. It's hopeless. They've dug a pit like they're trying to catch a wild beast. And I don't know where the pit is, and I fear that I will fall into it. His next step seems hopeless. His next step seems hopeless to him. He can't trust where to go, which way to go. It seems dangerous. Sometimes we find ourselves unsure of the next steps where we're supposed to take in our life. And sometimes it seems hopeless. Sometimes we don't know what the right decision is, which way to go. Sometimes we face, as David is, it seems like he's facing this depression in his life. He's in this unsettling place of being unsure. He says that his soul is bowed down. His soul is bowed down. I look at that like he's facing this time of depression. Maybe you've been there. You don't know what the next step is going to be. You don't know if trouble awaits or if it's smooth sailing. And sometimes it seems hopeless because of the situation you find yourself in. But remember, hopeless doesn't equal helpless. The end of verse 6, he says, they've digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. In these psalms, the destroy not psalms, there's a common theme of, at the end, the righteous prevailing over the wicked and the wicked falling into their own devices. If you look at those psalms, there's this theme of the righteous overcoming the wicked and the wicked falling into their own traps, basically. And that's what David is saying. David is saying that they've digged this pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. He comes back to a response of faith to overcome his fear. He comes back to a response of faith to overcome his fear. And it is faith in, David shows faith in God who is merciful and true. We see that back in verse number 3. He says, he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. We see that again in verse number 10. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. David has faith in God who is merciful and true. He cries out, he says, my heart is fixed, my heart is fixed. My heart is secure, O God. My heart is secure. My heart is fixed. He had set his heart. He had fixed his heart, secured his heart on God. We find in another psalm, I looked unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. David understands that God is the only one who's going to help him out of this situation. So he fixes his heart on God and responds in praise. He says, I will sing and give praise. You know, it's hard to stay hopeless when we sing and give praise for who God is and what he's done in our lives. When we remember all the different times God has helped us, when we remember all the things that God has done for us, it's hard for us to stay hopeless and afraid. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. God inhabits the praise of his people. It's really hard for us to be... If you listen to music, as most normal human beings do, you listen to music. If you listen to good Christian worship music, it's hard to be upset. It's hard to have a bad attitude when you're praising God. I mean, it's very hard. I've never tried it. I don't know if I could. Some of the best times of worship in my life have been when I'm driving on Interstate 91 or maybe from Hudson, or, you know, I drive a lot for work, where I'm sitting in my car listening to music and I'm just having a worship session, listening to my worship playlist. I mean, those are some incredible times. God uses music in such a great way. And we see that all throughout the book of Psalms. And David is telling us, I will sing and give praise. More so in verse 8. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. So David is telling us that our praise, it encompasses our singing, it encompasses our playing of an instrument. He says, I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. It's not just singing to ourselves. David says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to sing in the midst of these people. And then he says, I will sing unto thee among the nations. I'm not going to have... So yes, private praise is good and acceptable. But David is saying that's not just enough. It's funny, today we got to the church early to shovel. And I didn't realize we had a snowblower. So I parked out front and I turned my music up and put my windows down. And I was going to shovel, and I walked out back and saw there's a snowblower. But I left my car on and my windows down without even thinking about it. And the music was playing. It was pretty loud. And I know it was pretty loud because Mr. Cody, yeah, they were good. It was Shane and Shane. It was, if you never listened to Shane and Shane, do yourselves a favor and look up Shane and Shane. They're very good. But anyway, so it was good. It was good music. And so Mr. Cody, I went back to move my car. Mr. Cody's like, oh, you've been cranking the tunes this morning, huh? But yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. People drive down the city all the time blaring whatever music they want in their cars, right? I like my music way too loud, apparently. My wife tells me that all the time. But I don't think there's a such thing as having your music too loud. And I have biblical proof in verse number 9, 8, 7, in all of the book of Psalms. So, but David is saying, don't be ashamed of singing praise to God. Don't be ashamed. If you listen to any of the pop music today, and I don't recommend it, and you'll hear people singing about stupidity. I mean, some of the songs are just like, what? It don't make sense, right? Yet you'll see people walking around singing these songs, and you're like, well, what? I don't even understand. Unashamed at the words they're singing, and they don't even know, like, they don't even make sense, some of them. I'm sure there are some talented artists, but people are unashamed to sing that We as Christians should be unashamed to be known for singing worship and praise songs out in the community. Anyway, it's in the Bible, so it's okay to go on that rabbit trail. It's part of this passage. But it's hard to stay hopeless. It's hard to continue to face fear when we sing and give praise for who God is and what he's done in our life. David's even crying for his soul to wake up. It's as if he's saying that this time of hopelessness and fear that he's faced was due to his soul being asleep and not praising God. And I understand that, you know, sometimes there are clinical reasons for having depression and hopelessness, and that's not what we're talking about. What David is talking about is because of his circumstances, and he gives us one of the reasons. He says that his soul needs to wake up and to praise God publicly, to sing in the midst of people. He's going to use his testimony, his trials, to point other people to his merciful and true God. He says, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Why? For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. God's mercy and his truth can't be contained, basically is what he's saying. It is so great that it should cause us to sing and not be ashamed. It should cause us to praise and not be ashamed. We can have faith in a God, just like David, who is merciful and true. And this faith then produces the response of exaltation, just like we saw in verse number 5. We see this again in verse number 11. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Again, when we exalt God above our fears, we elevate him above all our fears, they all get smaller when we see how great God is. In times that are good and times that are bad, we can exalt the Lord. We can lift up his name. So have you found yourself where David is? Have you faced times of loneliness, despair? Maybe fear because of your circumstances? As David, we can express faith in the midst of our fear. We can express faith to God, our helper. When we face fear from those who would destroy us, we can give the right response to fear by exalting God. And when we face hopelessness, we can respond with faith in God, who is merciful and true. David was able to show us faith in the midst of fear and how to overcome it. And again, we're not talking about depression and hopelessness with clinical reasons. We're talking about fear in our circumstances that we face in life. God can help us to overcome those by exalting him, by putting our faith in him, by praising him. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for David, Lord. And we know that David's life wasn't easy through studying your word. And we know that he had times of, in his early days, times of just running in despair and hopelessness. And we thank you that we can learn from him, that you use these times in his life to teach us. I pray that we would learn. I pray that we would be able to have faith in the midst of our fear. Bless our evening tonight. Help us to think about this throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen.